Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm your Australia attorney, Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting once again, folks, in the middle of the mitten, in a beautiful green nutrient field, Craig Russell from the Morning Hustle. The snow has melted.
It's a little brown and slushy now.
The green is poking through, yep. And the nutrients are vibrant.
You know what it is? This is a bad tease this time of year, because it's starting to get a little warmer. You know it's going to snow again before the end of May. And next thing you know,
it's been a great winter though for Michigan outdoor recreation, ice fishing, sledding, fat biking.
How much fat biking have you done this winter? Have you done any?
All week long, every week.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay. Are you doing any fat biking soon? You got a race coming up or anything?
Got a race called the Polar Roll coming up.
Okay.
Marquette, Michigan.
Ooh.
Yeah, from Marquette all the way to Ishpeming.
Wow.
35 miles.
Quite a race.
It's brutal.
And especially in the UP, it's still winter in the UP.
Yeah, unbelievable. Oh, yeah, it is. Hey, still. We opened the show today with what a great song.
Scorpions,
Big City. Big City Night.
Yeah.
Scorpions, but such great voice, very recognizable lead singer.
Totally. Yes, and we have a special guest in the studio.
We do? Who's that?
Who are you?
I'm Little John.
Little John's in the house.
Little John's back on the show.
I'm not a guest, I'm a pest.
Little John is part of the opening of the show. When you hear the opening of the show, it says, Todd, I don't know how the opening of my own show goes, but you're on there, Little John.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I always tune into the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, but we are a law show, and we have a lot of law to get to today. And so we're going to be talking about cannabis law.
That's right.
Imagine that. This show talking about cannabis law.
This show talking about law in general.
Yeah.
Crazy.
We are a law
Crazy.
Show. We have some complaints.
Okay.
We have some Valentine's Day updates.
Yes, exactly. It was Valentine's Day this past week.
But first, I have to get to my complaint.
Okay, what's your complaint?
I've got issues.
I know you do.
No doubt about it.
I know you do.
When it comes to cleanliness,
yes,
and
you are OCD.
I always complain
with the best
about the convenience worker who grabs the bottle of soda or pop, however you want to call it, and puts his or her hand right on the lid as they scan it. You know, they're touching money. Now they've got it right there on the top where you have to turn it and drink out of. I always go back and get another bottle or can. This complaint has to do with being in a restaurant.
Okay.
Or ordering food.
Right.
That is then delivered to your table.
Okay.
Okay. I was at an establishment where I observed the individuals who were making the food also cleaning the tables.
Oh.
Exactly.
Oh. Now, look, I'm not as fanatical as you are
about
that.
You follow me on this, Little John, everybody?
Yeah.
I'm not as fanatical as you are about this stuff, but even that isn't cool.
So I'm looking at I'm watching the person making the food.
Okay.
Then the person comes out and starts picking up all the tables, you know, because something was being toasted or something was, okay.
Okay.
And I'm with Karen and I'm thinking to myself, okay, if that individual goes back and starts finishing making the sandwich, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I am out of this place. I knew the owner and I'm out of here. The good news, the person took, they washed their hands, put gloves on and finish making the food.
Well, that's
good. But it brought up a good point.
Okay.
Pay attention to if you're at an establishment and they're cleaning tables, is that same person making the food? If you can observe that, because some places you can, some places you can't. And then they wash their hands. Disgusting.
What I'm not a big fan of is the person who takes your order, also brings out the food, and then also clears the tables after you're done. To me, that's a little too close for comfort. I would rather have it be the person who's taking your order and then somebody different from the kitchen whose sole job is to bring the food out,
Last time I was in a great state of Superior.
Okay.
I was at a sub shop.
All right.
And I was way back in line. A.K.A. the Upper Peninsula, the great state of Superior, for those that don't know that.
Right.
And because they would love, I mean, it's a state by itself.
Oh, yeah.
Pure Michigan,
Should
baby.
Should be the 51st state.
I was in the back of the line of a sub shop watching this lady make subs and the cash register and go back and make subs. And when it was my turn, I said to the lady politely, could you please get a fresh pair of gloves on? She looked at me like I was crazy.
Well, you are.
But no.
Not because of that.
No. Wait, do you want somebody touching the register, making subs, grabbing handles, and then touching your food?
Now, the sub shop.
Little John?
The sub shop. The sub shop I go to, because I go to, there's one specific sub shop I go to at least three times a week because I get a salad there. And the girl who does my order, she puts on a fresh pair of gloves, does my salad, takes off the gloves, does the ring up, then goes back and washes her hands, puts new gloves on, does the next person. And that's the way it should be. One thing overall, then you put new gloves on, you do it again. Have you ever wore those plastic gloves?
My hands are too
big. I hate those things.
Especially, I can't get plastic gloves on these hands.
Especially after you wash your hands and they're a little damp. You put those gloves on and they stick to them. Yeah. I hate that. Ugh, those are the worst. Because have you worked in food service before, Steve, there before, Todd?
Are you kidding? What did you call me, Steve?
I almost called you Steve, and I don't know why.
Well, first off, when I was 13, I was a busboy at Bonanza, which became Ponderosa.
Yeah, it did.
So I started off as a busboy. Before that, about from the time I was 11 to 13, I was a paper boy. I was still a paper boy and a busboy at Bonanza at 11 in Greenfield. Then when I was 16, I got a job at Domino's Pizza at 11 in Coolidge. I was going to Berkeley High. Then I became a delivery boy. So I stayed at Domino's Pizza for a number of years. When I came to Central in the 80s, I worked at H&R Pizza, which is next to the towers with H and Russ. Love Russ, drives for iRide. At the same time, I was waiting tables at the old Holiday Inn, which is now the water park. Then I became a waiter at Uno's Pizzeria. Should I go on and on? I've been in food my entire life. I'm a blue collar kid through and through.
Until you became a lawyer.
Well, all through law school, I waited tables.
Right.
That's literally. I've done more side work and more doubles and worked till 2 o'clock in the morning. I've mopped floors. I've cleaned out bathrooms. I've done dishes. I mean, I've done it all. I'm not just a lawyer. I'm a blue-collar lawyer.
You're a lawyer who's worked in every part of the food service.
No, I've worked at car washes.
You worked at a couple
places. I was a lifeguard. I worked at a clothing store, merry-go-round.
You've lived a colorful life. You and little John have lived a colorful life.
Well, I had to work two jobs just to get to where I'm at. I actually, when I was in law school, I waited tables and worked at Clubland, which is a huge bar. It's now it was a state theater.
Okay.
It was like the first of those huge four-story, 1989 clubs.
Yep.
It was awesome.
Now, when you said you worked at, what Uno did you work at?
Uno's Pizzeria on Orchard Lake Road.
Is that the, like, Uno's out of Chicago?
Yeah, same thing. Yeah,
okay.
Oh. Spinacoli.
Love.
Everybody wanted a Spinacoli.
Love Chicago-style pizza. Yeah. Love, love, love.
Oh, I made a lot of pizzas in my days. Remember Domino's, 30 minutes or less?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I had a four-door Escort. I used to haul tail in that thing.
I bet you did.
Back then, you probably didn't wear gloves as much as you do now.
No. But I'll tell you something I want to complain. Can I complain about something?
That was a different time, though. But yes, of course.
I want to complain about my managers at all the pizza shops, except H&R, but all the other pizza places.
All right.
When the phone rang at 5 to 2, I was still breaking down the line. I still had to mop the floors and fold boxes. And I always had to take that delivery at 5 to 2. We closed at 2.
Sure.
It was always the furthest delivery of the area, in Royal Oak.
Right.
Somewhere way out in Royal Oak. Now, and it was someone drunk. The lights were never on. I ended up bringing the pizza back.
You got no tip.
Over probably a $2 profit for that store. So the pizza, I mean, come on. Do you feel me on this?
I know what you're saying.
I was that guy that had to deliver that pizza. I'm still pissed about it.
I can tell. How many years ago was this?
It was a long time ago. And then after the 111 in Coolidge, I went to work at the Domino's Pizza at 11 and Barrington in Madison Heights, and our delivery area was all the way into Hazel Park, Woodward Heights all the way up to 14 and 75 Stevenson Highway by Oakland Mall. So I had delivered all those apartments. So you can imagine at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's 2:30. I want to go home. I had school the next day. I'm still looking for an apartment over a $5 pizza.
Man,
it's already past 30 minutes.
I don't even
remember. Are we a law show, or is this like a complaint hotline?
I was going to say, I don't even remember what I had for lunch yesterday. How in the hell do you remember that stuff?
Because when you deliver pizzas and you're out there till 2 in the morning listening to the Midnight Funk Association,
there
by
you
the
go.
Way. Mojo playing Rock Rock to the Planet Rock, yeah, where you don't stop, and Prince, you know, just jamming and turning it and burning it.
I used to deliver pizzas. I know what you're talking about.
I'm just saying, okay?
You deliver $28 worth of pizza to a big house, and they give you a quarter tip. You want them to kick their teeth in.
Or they don't turn the light on.
Exactly.
Hey, can you please turn the light on? Sure.
Speaking of Domino's Pizza, just saw this week they're going to open up
Domino's.
They're opening up a Domino's in Elma. They haven't had a Domino's there in over a decade. They're going to open it up in this.
Maybe we should be guest pizza makers.
That would be awesome.
I can spin a dough.
That would be awesome. I want to see you. Well, you're Italian. That makes
sense. Here's a little
sense.
Secret when you're making a pizza.
Okay.
Make sure the sauce goes out to the edges and the cheese is, you know why?
Yeah. Why?
Why?
You tell me. You tell me why.
No, you tell me. I asked you. Rock, paper, scissors. Little John, do you know why you do that when you're making a pizza before it goes into the oven? 7.5 minute conveyor belt oven. But when I was making pizzas, they didn't have the conveyor belts yet.
Oh, yeah.
500 degree ovens, you have to stick your hand in
and put
it
in.
Yeah,
exactly.
Why, when you're making a pizza, do you take the sauce to the edges and the cheese to the edges and all the toppings to the edges?
Because when the bread dough starts shrinking, if I'm not mistaken, the bread dough starts shrinking and then it catches up to itself and it makes it kind of over the edge and it tastes
okay.
Much
he was partially correct.
Okay.
Once it heats up, everything is going to move inward. So you want to make sure everything's to the edges, because if you put all the ingredients, you know,
in the middle,
it's going to shrink in. So there would be nothing on the edges. That's why. Thank you very much. We are a law show.
Master pizza maker,
not
Todd
a cooking
Levitt.
Show here on the Todd
no
L. Levitt Law Show.
All right. You're going to do a spaghetti recipe later?
Oh, I make some great pesto pasta.
That made me so upset when I worked for Tony's in Mount Saginaw.
Because you're from Saginaw.
Yeah.
And Tony's restaurant. Awesome food.
All right. Lunch today at Todd's house. That's all I know.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we're going to talk about the motor vehicle exception to a warrantless search.
Okay.
Okay. I've had a few cases in recent months in regards to the motor vehicle exception. When can an officer search your vehicle or not search your vehicle?
Uh-huh.
We have some LARA updates if you're in the state of Michigan on medical marijuana facilities licensing applicants.
And other things to do with driver's license stuff, laws that have been passed in Michigan as well. You're looking at me like you don't know.
Of course I know.
I've got news for you.
No, I'm the I specialize in driver's license restoration.
This is what you do.
Yeah, we're joined in studio by our good friend Little John.
Yeah.
How you doing, Little John?
I'm just listening to what you guys are talking about. Sounding good to me.
Yeah, Little John and I used to, we've had some good times. We used to run Skate War together, my skateboard company.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But we have to go to break.
Yes, we do. When we come back,
we're going to start off with
stuff to know about the motor vehicle exception law
to the searchless warrant. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting once again from the Black Diamond Mothership in the middle of a nutrient field mitten here, pure Michigan, baby.
You know it. You know it.
Yeah. With all the medical marijuana facilities opening up across the state, not only are we going to be pure Michigan, but boy, this state is going to smell terrific.
Now, of course, we broadcast every week on 98.5 UPS from 8 to 9 a.m. Also on Rock 105 and Rock 95.5. We podcast all over the country, all over the world.
Yeah, so if you miss any portion of the show on your phone, download the podcast app, type in my name, Todd Levitt. You can tap on the show icon and subscribe to the show. When we, after recording the show you're listening to, we're going to upload it onto Podbean, SoundCloud, Google Play, Radio FM.
You know it. Everywhere else you can hear it. And that way you can,
yeah.
And you can go back and listen to past episodes as well. Search about stuff that we've talked about in the past.
Oh, yeah. We have some great shows in the past. Yep. Attorney Matt Green, John Marco.
Great shows coming up.
Little John, Big Hair.
Little John. Yeah. Little John.
Little John's in studio.
He's in the house.
Yeah.
We got some great shows coming up. Talk about some of the people who are going to be coming up on the show.
Matt Abel.
Yep.
Chris Aiello. These are attorneys. Chris Aiello, Matt Abel. Matt Abel is the executive director of Normal.
Okay.
He's due to come on the show. Chris Aiello, Aiello and Associates. Chris and I grew up together. He's one of the leading cannabis lawyers in the state of Michigan. He's got a great law firm. You definitely got to check out Chris's law firm online. That's chrisaiello.com. Check out Chris's law firm. We have Danny Bain coming on. John Marco's a regular.
Sure, yep.
Little
Matt,
John.
Little John. Matt Green from Alabama. He was awesome as well. So.
I've got a Big Hair story.
Do you really?
I do.
Okay.
Big Hair's a legend. He's always on a show.
Yes, he is. Vince Neil, otherwise known as Jerry Neil.
Now, you know how we say AKA Jerry Neil, AKA?
Yeah.
He's now AKA AKA.
Is that the story?
About a week ago, he says, hey, Levitt, let's go to Caberfay. Let's do some shredding on the boards.
Okay.
So I said, all right, fine. My board's waxed. I'm ready to shred the gnar. So he picked up Ron Wood. I was supposed to meet him at Caberfay.
Okay.
But it was a beautiful day.
Right.
I said, because they drove separate and they got there first. I said, how are we going to find each other? Well, it's simple. I have a green helmet. I have all blue pants, blue coat. I look like a Smurf with a green helmet. Okay. I'll meet you on the South Run. I get there 10 o'clock. I didn't find him till 3 o'clock.
Oh, my God.
I'm going up and down the run, shredding the gnar. I'm sitting at the top of the mountain. I'm thinking, how hard is I'm the only guy out here that looks like a Smurf with a green helmet. Couldn't find each other till 3 o'clock.
Wow.
There's my Big Hair story.
Did they only get there maybe at 2:30?
No, they got there early before it opened.
Sure they
did. But a Big Hair can shred the gnar.
Can he really?
No, he can haul. He's got a board. It is greased up. It's waxed up.
Prius driver, Big Hair.
I'm shredding a LibTech board. L-I-B Tech.
Never heard of it. But I'm not a big snowboarder.
Little John, you snowboard?
No, I drowned.
Okay.
Hey,
we got some law.
Well, yeah, I was going to say before we get to the law, though, it was Valentine's Day this week.
It was.
Did you do anything exciting for Valentine's Day there, Little John?
Just walked around wishing everybody a happy Valentine's Day, and I said, don't forget it's Lent. You got to give something up that you like.
Okay.
I'm trying to give up my chawing tobacco, and I've been chawing since I've been 11.
Good for you. Good on. Good idea.
That'll be 50-some years of giving up.
Good idea. What'd you do, Todd?
For what? Valentine's Day?
Yeah, Valentine's Day.
Well, I was at Roz's Diner in Rosebush.
Okay.
My literally number one favorite place to eat.
Okay.
Chris and Megan Bear own it.
All right.
And Megan had mentioned, I was with Karen, she says, yeah. She does art, Mama Bear art. She's called Mama Bear because her last name is B-A-I-R.
Okay.
She says, on Valentine's Day, I'm going to be at a pottery place in Mount Pleasant.
Yeah, this would be the place Michelle runs called the Painted Turtle Pottery Studio.
On Broadway, yeah, the Painted Turtle Pottery Studio on Broadway.
Okay.
And so Karen and I went, and there was about a dozen other couples there, and there was on canvas, Megan and Chris, her husband, were there. And they had painted a heart and some burrs and some branches.
Okay.
So each couple had a canvas, would paint half of that, and then put them together. And Megan taught us how to do it.
Oh, okay.
So we used different colors, and it was a great Valentine's Day.
And I'm sure you got all kinds of crap for it.
You have no idea.
I'm sure.
No, you have no idea.
Well, it does not sound like a Todd L. Levitt thing to do, to be really honest.
No, I would. I was going to take my girl and go bumper skiing.
What did you do?
No, but first off, I used to bumper ski when I got out of Berkeley High back in the day down Catalpa and Coolidge. I don't want to recommend anybody bumper ski.
No, don't do that.
And for those that have no idea, do you know what bumper skiing is?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, but we didn't have skis. We didn't know with our shoes, and we'd fall on our Corpus Christi, grab a hold of the bumper of a car, and skiing right now.
Yeah, do not try this.
No. It's a bad idea.
Yeah, this is a horrible idea.
Bad idea.
Yeah, and the owners and advertisers are not responsible for anything we see on the show.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about something I used to do.
That's right.
Right.
But you don't recommend doing.
No, what did you do for Valentine's Day?
I sat in my underwear and ate macaroni and cheese in front of the TV.
You did what? That is a really bad visual.
All right, moving on to law.
Yeah.
There we are. So, yeah. But this, there's,
so, I've had a number of... I do, I'm a defense attorney.
Right, exactly.
And I practice from Mount Pleasant. I go south to Grash at St. John's, all the way north to the top of the UP. I'm in Marquette. I'm in St. Ignace. I'm in Gaylord.
Let's say somebody wants to get a hold of you and your law firm. How do they do that?
Well, I mean, again, this show is not a shameless plug.
I understand.
989-772-6000.
989-772-6000.
Todd Levitt. No, you could talk to Jackie Star or Jennifer Woodruff, and if somebody out there, by the way, is in an automobile accident, a snowmobile accident, a truck, motorcycle, I'm associated with John Marco. We've had John on the show.
Yep.
I'm going to put you in touch with John via his cell phone. So instead of calling one of those big, you know, one of those 800 numbers, there's a lot of these companies that are from out of state that advertise in this state.
That pretend like they're in this state,
correct,
but they're not really.
No.
Now, there are a couple of them that are
based in Michigan. If you're injured or you have any kind of problem,
you
contact my office. I'm putting you in touch with Johnny Marco, the man.
Straight up.
But in any event, as a defense attorney, I specialize in drunk driving cases. I do a lot of drug cases, cannabis. Yep. I'm an advocate for everything, you know, that's legal under the Facilities Licensing Act.
Sure.
But I do these cases. A lot of my cases involved motor vehicles.
Right.
And individuals are pulled over, and they're either card holders or caregivers, or they're not. And at times, the officer will approach the vehicle, and he or she will say, you know, first they'll start a conversation, and they'll say, I smell marijuana. And are you a card holder? Are you a caregiver? Is there anything going on in here? And so there's something called a motor vehicle exception.
Okay. Explain that.
Well, it was for this is law school 101. There's certain exceptions to warrants. People will say, "Oh, he or she didn't, you know, the officer didn't have a warrant to search my car. The officer didn't have a warrant, you know, to search my apartment, my house." Well, there's exigent circumstances that allow an officer to do so, and one of those is the motor vehicle exception, which was first established by the United States Supreme Court, the law of the land, back in 1925.
Wow.
In Carroll versus United States, it's still good law. And the motor vehicle exception allows an officer, Little John, to search a vehicle, folks, without a search warrant, as long as he or she has probable cause, in quotes there, to believe that evidence or contraband is located in the vehicle. But did you hear that threshold there?
Yeah.
Your expectation, by the way, in a motor vehicle is diminished. It's not the expectation in a motor vehicle is not what it is in your home or your apartment.
Correct.
A motor vehicle is something that's on the move. It's out in public. People are in it. They're out of it. Stuff is put in. It's put out. So your expectation of privacy is not as it is in your dwelling, which is like your castle. But again, the motor vehicle exception allows an officer to search without a warrant as long as he or she has probable cause to believe that the evidence or contraband is located in the vehicle. That belief could be any time for anything.
That's exactly what I was going
to
say.
And again, the expectation is based on that there's a lower expectation of privacy in a motor vehicle due to the regulations under which they operate. And additionally, it's the ease, as I said, the mobility that creates an inherent exigency to prevent, you know, removal of the evidence and contraband. So the officers, the law figures and the Supreme Court figures, look, this car moves. Okay, here's an officer. He or she has probable cause that there's evidence or contraband. That vehicle can move. The evidence can be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in the public's best interest that they have the ability to search that immediately without consent, without a search warrant. That's the automobile exception, motor vehicle exception. There's also something called plain view doctrine, and that also allows an officer to search without a warrant if he or she approaches the vehicle and observes evidence or illegal activity in plain view.
Because when you're in a car has windows, it's much easier to see in, or you have the door open. In your house, you could put something in a closet and nobody can see it, and then that's a different kind of expectation.
But Little John had a question for me. He just sent me, he says, what is the scope of the search? Well, under the motor vehicle exception, Little John, the scope of the search is limited to and only the area the officer has probable cause to search.
Okay.
This area can encompass the entire vehicle, including the trunk and everything, containers, everything. So your constitutional rights to privacy in a motor vehicle are diminished, and they've been diminished since 1925.
And I'm sure they're
not getting any better.
And I was going to say, I'm sure that's a lot of the cases that you end up having to deal with.
Well, there was a case out of Texas, I think about 2-3 years ago. We'll have to look it up. And the case said that if an officer, and this came from the Supreme Court, if an officer approaches a motor vehicle for a traffic stop, after the traffic stop, beyond that, if there's no other evidence, they need to leave.
Right.
Instead of standing there and sitting there and asking you over and over, is there anything else you want to tell me? Is there anything else going on here? So they just pull you over for a tail light, and they don't smell marijuana. There's nothing else going on. That stop needs to end right there. And the person can go about their way. There was a case out of Texas, and that's what the case decided.
And, you know, and of course, we should always make mention of the fact we're big in law enforcement fans. We know they do. They have a hard job. They're only doing their job. Every once in a while, occasionally, somebody maybe oversteps their bounds a little bit. Maybe they get a hunch about something. Maybe it's not right. Maybe it's wrong. But, you know, that's the other part of it. People in law enforcement, they're human beings.
Yeah.
They get hunches. They get, you know, they think they see something. They think they smell something. They think they might hear something. Yep. And thus, they don't want to lose the opportunity to maybe save people's lives if they can do something about it. But they're human beings, like all of us.
But that's where comes into play. After my eighth drunk driving, I had some attorney friends tell me, buy a motorhome. That motorhome, I could park it in a parking lot, be drinking in it, have the keys on me, be drunk on my butt, and they could not do nothing because it's a motor home.
Okay, I'm going to disagree with that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I'm ready for it.
That's bad advice. Well, because here's why. Because the motor home, it's defined as a home, but you move the motor home. It has an engine. There are keys in the motor home. If you can prove, if an officer comes upon the motorhome and you can prove that the motorhome has not moved in 24, 48 hours and you're intoxicated, then you can't be charged with drinking and driving because you'd be getting charged with drinking and driving in a motorhome.
Right.
Well, so, I had never got charged.
We have to go to break, but Little John, you have a question for me in regards to these search issues?
Yes. Are objects searched in the vehicle irrelevant to the legitimacy of the search?
I think what he's asking me, if I'm driving a vehicle and there's passengers in there and they own objects in the vehicle, are those objects irrelevant to the search of the vehicle? I can answer that when we come back.
Yeah, okay. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Todd at Lovett Law Show.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. If you're just tuning in for the first time, what took you so long?
Yeah.
We come to you come each and every Sunday morning. We broadcast across the universe on Black Diamond Group stations.
98.5 UPS.
Rock 105, 95.5 Traverse City, Sheboygan, Petoskey.
You know it.
And you show it.
And also, we podcast all over the entire free and even occupied world.
Yeah, catch us on Podbean, SoundCloud, download the podcast app. We are there where you want us to be.
And we're talking about law, and we're talking about
the motor vehicle exception in regards to warrant, legitimate searches of vehicles.
Exactly. Now, Little John, right before the break, asked a question about whether the legitimacy of ownership of objects in the car was irrelevant to the search.
As a defense attorney, I specialize in drunk driving cases, operating with the presence of drugs, and anything and everything that has to do with a driver's license.
Right.
But often, in these drug cases that I have, individuals are at casinos or in parking lots, at universities, or just driving on a highway, and they're pulled over. And before you know it, the officer is searching the vehicle. The first question I get as an attorney when I call my office is, did they have a legitimate right to search the vehicle? And I explain to them that there's something called the motor vehicle exception, which is an exception without a warrant. And it's basically, folks, a rule in the United States which allows the search of a motor vehicle without the search warrant normally required by the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution, the Fourth Amendment. And also, remember, the Fifth Amendment, you have a right to remain silent. Use it. Do not self-incriminate yourself.
Now, I know we've asked this before, but
I'm going to answer that question.
Okay. I know we've asked this before, but I'll ask it again. So let's say you do get pulled over, and the officer says, I would like to look in your car. Can you say no?
Well, if the officer's asking you, then my thought as a defense attorney is they don't have a reason to search your car. They need consent.
Okay.
Because consent is also one of those warrantless issues. So plain view doctrine, we talked about in the last segment. We've got the motor vehicle exception right now. And consent is another avenue officers use so they don't have to obtain a warrant.
Right.
But look, an officer, even if they have probable cause, and look, we support law enforcement.
Oh, you totally.
I got to tell you something.
Just doing their job.
I have so many friends. I have so much respect for Michigan State troopers. I run into Trooper Kraft, Trooper Bittner. These are great state troopers from the Mount Pleasant Post. They do such a great job over there.
Right.
I mean, just a great job.
Yes, totally.
I have a lot of friends who are sheriffs, you know, Sabota. I can go on and on throughout the state of Michigan.
We totally support law enforcement.
Yeah. And the other thing is, if an officer pulls you over in a motor vehicle, we say, this is common sense. Two things. Turn your car off.
Right.
Put both hands on the wheel.
So they can see. Yeah.
Do not start fidgeting around for your paperwork in your console, in your glove compartment. Put the hands on the wheel so he or she who's approaching knows that they're going home to their family and loved ones. When they approach your vehicle, roll the window down. And then if they say, can you please, do you have any weapons in the car? It's the first thing you're going to say. Then let them tell you to get your papers.
Right. And explain to them where they are. Be respectful. I mean, that's, you know, that's just common sense. But a lot of people don't have it.
But your question, going back to your initial question, is a little John's question.
Right.
Was when there's objects in a vehicle that do not belong to the driver, does that have any issue when it comes to warrantless searches? There was a case, Wyoming versus Houghton, and it was a Supreme Court case. And that case ruled that the ownership of the objects searched in the vehicle, like someone else's purse, is irrelevant to the legitimacy of the search. So point being is, if you're a passenger, the driver gets pulled over, the officer has probable cause, they're searching the car without a warrant, they're going to have a right to search that purse. It doesn't matter whether the driver owns it or not.
Yep.
Now, there's a question of standing. So I'll get these clients who are passengers who are found with contraband and don't have immunity under any medical marijuana act or law.
Right.
And they'll ask me, can we attack the search? Because I don't think there's probable cause. So the issue of standing, you weren't the driver. You don't own the vehicle. You didn't have dominion and control over it. So do you really have standing?
No.
There you go.
You don't. You are in the car. You thus become able to be searched, just like anything else in the car. Anything, and it doesn't matter who owns the car, it doesn't matter who owns the contraband or whatever.
There was a case out of the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, and it was United States versus Ludwig. And in that case, the Court of Appeals found that a search warrant, again, is not required, even if there's little or no risk that the vehicle could be driven off. Because as I stated in the last segment, you know, you have less expectations of privacy in a vehicle because under the law in some of these cases, you know, the vehicle, the thought is, well, the vehicle could be driven off, evidence or contraband could be destroyed. But again, this is the 10th Circuit, which is just sort of, so you got these federal circuits around the country, federal law rules, but we're part of the 6th Circuit here in Michigan.
Okay.
I'm not talking state, I'm talking federal.
Right.
And there's cases that come out of these circuits, but these circuits encompass different parts of the country. So when something comes out of the 10th Circuit, like Texas, for instance, is the 10th Circuit, I believe.
Okay.
That case does not mean it's law in the state of Michigan. It's just sort of a guidance. Because as a lawyer, if I'm going to file a motion to get something quashed because it's fruit of the poisonous tree due to an illegal search, I could try to cite the case, unpublished case out of Texas from that circuit.
Exactly.
But it's more of just guidance. It's not necessarily law that the courts here have to follow.
Right.
The Supreme Court. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the top of the line.
Oh, yeah.
So now I have another question, and this brings up a little bit of what...
You can get right?
No, it makes total sense. What Little John was asking earlier, he was talking about having a motorhome, and he was told that since a motorhome is my home, that I was going to ask, what about if you are pulling a trailer?
Well, let me talk about the motorhome.
Okay,
so, Little John, you had a question about the motorhome we talked about earlier, right?
Yep.
You had a motorhome, and someone told you what?
Well, I've been told that I could take and be sober, drive all kinds of people around, let them drink in the back, just like a Greyhound, and nothing could be done because it's a motor home.
Okay, first off, I'm not going to recommend anybody do not do that.
Yeah,
Okay, I'm just telling you what I was taught after my 8th drunk driving by some of my attorney friends. Said, John, you can't afford the 9th one because
But again, so here's the question is, does a motor vehicle exception apply to motorhomes? And that's a good question. The United States Supreme Court in California versus Carney found that the motor vehicle exception does apply to a motorhome. So the court, although Little John did, however, make a distinction between readily mobile motorhomes and those parked motorhomes. So I would say a number of factors, including, you know, was the motorhome elevated on blocks? Because that's not moving. Right. Whether the vehicle is licensed, is it connected to utilities? These are all factors, whether or not the motor vehicle exception applies. Those are more homes that are permanent structures,
right,
as opposed to Little John's exception where it's moving. And so there's a distinction right there. So
moving,
if you have a parked mobile home that people live in year-round, depending on where you live in the country, it's attached to the sewage, to the electrical.
Right.
It's on blocks, or it's just not moving, and you're just paying rent there all month. Okay, I would feel that's more of a home of your dwelling or your castle as opposed to one that is readily movable. So, therefore, the motor vehicle exception does apply to the moving mobile home.
Now, what about somebody who owns a motorhome and that's their only house?
Well, that's what we're referring to.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, you know, he's talking about whether you have a parked motorhome and driving, blah, blah, blah. I'm talking about somebody who's got a motorhome. They've sold all their possessions, and this is their only
house. So here's the question. I just said it in the case California versus Carney. Is that mobile home something you're moving from day to day, spot to spot? Are you connected? Are you on blocks? Because it doesn't matter. People can move vehicles and sleep out of their vans, out of their cars. It's still a van. It's still a car. It's still moving. Therefore, if you're pulled over and the officer has probable cause, the motor vehicle exception tells the officer he or she does not have to obtain a warrant because in fear of contraband or some other probable cause, it gives them the ability to search the car without a warrant, again, as long as they believe the evidence and contraband is located in the vehicle.
So in other words, what you're really...
It doesn't matter if you're a passenger, you're going to be searched too.
What you're really saying is if you're going to do something illegal, do it in your house.
Don't do Well, you can't get charged with open intoxicant in your house.
That's true.
Because you're in your house.
Yeah, there's a lot of your...
And if you're running nude in your house, you're not going to be charged with public indecency or other laws.
Exactly.
In fact, don't streak like they did in the 70s.
No, that's a bad idea.
No, we don't want to go streaking.
No, that's a bad idea.
What was that about?
That was
all that streaking.
The 70s were a weird time.
Hey.
Weird time.
There's some
weird time.
No, it was bizarre.
Because it was, you know, between the 80s, which was a weird time, and the 60s, which was even weirder, 70s was a weird kind of
thing. I got to high school in 79, so I wasn't paying attention to what was going on in the 70s. Although I knew one thing. And as a young kid, I didn't like Jimmy Carter. I'm sorry. I didn't know anything about politics back then.
Drugs and alcohol. Yeah, baby.
Did you like Jimmy Carter?
Nah, he was always busy picking peanuts.
Yeah, I don't know. I was too young to know any difference. I just knew there's something I didn't like about that.
One of my earliest recollections, my dad was an auto worker, worked at GM, and was a Democrat.
I drive a big GM truck.
Yeah, you do. So my dad was a, you know, union guy, Democrat, and one of my earliest recollections, other than him having a picture over my parents' bed of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, which my mother said killed their sex life. Other than
Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Hey now.
Other than that, my dad used to have a Nixon $2 bill, and it would look like a regular $2 bill with a picture of Nixon on it. And, you know, that just, it was weird. What a weird time. I always get weird thinking about that.
Weird time.
Weird stuff. Hey, we got to take a break, but when we come back, we've got Laura news, cannabis update news.
We have cannabis
in Michigan.
We do, but I want to just say one more thing.
Okay.
The majority of my clients were pulled over in motor vehicles who end up getting charged with something. They either have a tail light out, something dangling from the mirror, a cracked windshield. Check your license plate lights. These are reasons to get pulled over.
Yep.
There's always a reason why you're getting stopped. So my point is, first off, you should not do anything illegal.
True.
But there's a lot of people out there, I'll just put it this way.
Who wouldn't get caught if you didn't have a light out.
Right, because I don't judge. It's not my job as an attorney to judge.
Nope, not at all.
My job is to help and do whatever I can.
Yep.
But over 24 years, 12 in Detroit practicing where I practice, I would get clients and I would say, why'd you get pulled over? Why'd you get stopped? Because my brake light was out. And they got caught doing something they shouldn't. I'm thinking, don't scream.
Let that happen. Yeah, don't give yourself a reason to pull over.
First of all, don't do anything illegal.
Right.
But you don't want to be screaming down the highway with your arms out the window, hello, check out my brake light out. I'm doing something illegal.
And here's the other part. If you got a tail light out.
Little John, good advice.
Good advice.
If you got a tail light out or a license plate light out, don't do anything illegal in the car because you're going to get pulled over, and then at least you'll just get a ticket to get it fixed.
Keep
that's
them
it.
Cleaned in
yeah.
the winter.
Right.
Yeah. Keep
oh, yeah.
Light,
yeah.
Showing.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Hey, when we come back from break, though, you're right. We're going to come back strong with the Scorpions, Big City Nights, and we do have some Lara updates. And joining us for a couple minutes, Big Hair on the phone wants to talk about his Prius and snowboarding.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Lovett Law Show. I'm Little John, Craig, and I'm with Todd, too. There's three stooges.
Yeah, that's about right.
That's exactly right.
Now I'm going to be thinking about the three stooges all day. I always want to see if pulling that tooth on the doorknob worked.
It does.
Okay.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Okay.
Long time ago.
Hey, we've had a great show.
Oh, we have.
No, this show's, if you've missed any portion of the show, we were talking about the automobile exception in regards to warrantless searches, motorhomes. And now, without further ado, we have some Michigan, because we're in the state of Michigan.
That's right.
Cannabis Lara updates. Craig, what you got?
The Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs, otherwise known as Lara, reminds prospective medical marijuana license applicants February 15th was the deadline that they had to get themselves their applications for licensing. You know, this is existing people who are already involved in the medical marijuana business. They had until February 15th. That has passed. So hopefully, I saw something about that they have like, there were like 6,000 applications.
So what you're referring to was, we talked about this about 3-4 months ago on the show. At one point during the summertime in Michigan, the LARA, the Licensing and the Medical Marijuana Board,
right,
was putting forth resolutions and rules in place that they wanted all operating dispensaries to shut down by December 15th.
Right.
And then they changed tunes and said, okay, you can stay open until
February 15th.
At which time?
You have to have your license updated and you have to be approved to be able to stay open.
There you go. It's a great update.
That's right.
And Little John has an update.
All right. Go, Little John, go.
What you got there, Little John? That's kind of cool. What you got there, Little John?
Well, what I have is a thing. Department of State, Lansing Regulation Affairs, is informing today that any place participates with a license regarding the label of marijuana products under the Medical Marijuana Facility Lansing Act, an advisory bulletin will be used to publish the universal symbol of acquired, required by the emergency rules. A marijuana plant or a marijuana product containing THC that is being sold or transferred must be labeled according to an emergency rules
exactly.
3839. It is basically an upside down yield sign with a marijuana plant in the middle of it.
So basically, what Little John's talking about is the new universal symbol. So prior to the product being sold or transferred to or by a provisioning center, Craig and listeners, the container, bag, or product holding the marijuana cannabis wonderful product must have a label and be sealed with all the following information. You ready for this?
Okay.
So in the Michigan, you know, Facilities Licensing Act and all the legalities going on, and so the label must be sealed and have the following information. the name of the licensee, license number, producer, and or packager, the tag or source number, kind of like the UPC code, that's assigned to the statewide monitoring system, the unique identification number for the package or the harvest, if it's applicable, the date of the harvest, the name of the strain, booyah, the net weight, the concentration of THC or CBD, can I say that again? The concentration of THC or CBD, I'm thinking CBD less than 1%. Activation time expressed in words or through a pictogram. Again, these labels, which are going to contain the new universal symbol, have to have all this information and more on there, and a warning that states the following: for use by registered qualifying patients only, keep out of reach of children and the folks in this radio show. No,
I was going to say, see, you,
oh, here we go.
Got anything with Little John? That's got that that little yield sign.
And Little John, by the way, when you're in your motorhome,
he's got a yield sign on him.
It is illegal to drive a motor vehicle while under the influence of marijuana. I don't like when I use the H.
Really?
No, I don't like that. I like cannabis.
Okay.
Anyhow, the universal symbol published by the department, and you can check out the symbol online. Just go to Lara, put universal symbol, and you can see what it looks like.
And is it possible you've got to have a picture about the size of a poster to put all of that stuff that you got to have on? I mean,
you know what? Can I tell you?
You tell me.
Well, we're going to have to do some research for the show, Little John.
I'm sure you will.
I'm going to in fact, Big Hair has a Prius.
Okay.
And he's going to transport Craig Russell from the Morning Hustle, Little John the Man, and Todd L. Levitt for some research.
Really?
Into where the symbol goes and what products for the show.
Speaking of Big Hair, we've got Big Hair on the phone right now. Big Hair live from his Prius. Hey, Big Hair, is your all your taillights and your brake lights and everything good on your Prius? We wouldn't want you to get pulled over.
Yes, everything's perfect. I'm getting, at this present time, doing 75 miles an hour. Getting 46.2 miles a gallon.
See, Todd Levitt's a liar. He said that you're getting like 80 or 90 miles to the gallon.
That's what he told me. I don't know. He said there's some videos on YouTube that prove it. Is there a, what's this YouTube channel in Priuses?
There was one point where I filled up in St. John's and I was heading north to my home and I had a big tailwind and I was getting 60 miles a gallon.
Yeah, but that's not 85 or 90. He said 85 or 90.
Exaggerating just a little bit.
Just a hair. But Big Hair is on the phone.
Big Hair's on the phone. Yep. A.K.A. Vince Neil. A.K.A.
A.K.A.
A.K.A. Jerry Neil.
Jerry Neil.
Yeah. Hey, Big Hair, big shout out to your lovely Valentine, Kathy, there.
Thank you very much. I'll let her know.
I was talking earlier on the show about Cabber Fay last week. And you just tuned in, so you have no idea what we talked about on the show. Is that right?
That is correct.
Tell the listeners what happened last week at Cabber Fay.
It's kind of funny. We're out there shredding the gnar, and on the way up there, I'm talking to Attorney Todd L. Levitt, and we were to meet at South Peak. And he said, okay, well, you know, so we'll meet you out at South Peak. We're riding up and down, Ryan Wood and myself and his two boys. Shredding the gnar, just having a ball. And so we don't see Todd L. Levitt, you know, after he told me he had his Martian green helmet on. And
exactly.
And he never saw it. And so we go in, we take a little break, and, you know, I'm texting, calling, trying to get a hold of you to find out where you're at. Well, we finally hook up, and he says, well, I'm still over to South Peak. So, okay, we'll meet you there in a minute. So I go, we finally get back over there to South Peak. I'm standing there down the bottom of the lift. I'm looking for my buddy, Todd L. Levitt. Well, then all of a sudden, our buddy Ron Wood comes up and he says, Todd, meet Jerry. Jerry, meet Todd.
I'll stand right next to him. No idea.
We were standing right next to each other. I'm looking one way. Todd's looking the other. We're looking for each other, back to back.
But the point, it was really weird, but the point is, I'm there for 4 or 5 hours going up and down with a green helmet. I look like someone on the Jetsons. I'm the only guy. I'm 6 feet tall, 210, with the extra large green helmet, and these guys couldn't find me. Anyhow, hey, Big Hair, we love having you on the show. We got to wrap the show up, though, here, brother.
All right, real good, sir. Well, we'll be out shredding the gnar here shortly.
Shred the gnar, my man. Shred the gnar. Be safe out there. Say hi to everyone, Big Hair.
All right, guys. Thanks much. Talk to you soon.
Yep, for sure. We love Big Hair. Yeah. He's a great guy. You know Big Hair, Little John. Yeah.
86 yeah. miles to
I
the gallon.
I thought he got 86 miles to the gallon. I don't know.
Show's over, man.
Hey, show's over, but a real quick announcement. Okay. April 16th at the Kellogg Center in Lansing, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
It's the second annual one-day live conference on cannabis law.
Oh.
Continuing legal education, which is something a lot of us attorneys go to for education, is putting on this huge two-day seminar. It is massive. We'll talk more about it next week, but if you're an attorney, an accountant, a banker, a business owner, government, legislators, anyone interested in cannabis law, April 16th, 2018, Kellogg Center, Lansing. We'll talk about next week who the speakers are. I'll be there.
Right.
You'll be there. You be there too, Little John. We got to go.
There you go.
All right. Thanks, Little John, for being on the
show.
John,
thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having the pest, because that way I'm a guest.
There you go.
Always great to have Little John. Craig Russell, great having Big Hair on the show. Craig, we got to go.
Show's over.
Show's over. Right. Take us out. I'm not just a litigator. I'm an advocator. We'll see you next week. Take us out, Craig Russell.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show, brought to you by Chad Malleywell Drilling of Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's fastest growing full-line Arctic Cat dealer, Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative healthcare needs, Clear Vision Windows, Siding, Roofing, and Attic Insulation of Midland, and Tim's Collision Plus.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.